build.
Yeah. Nigga lying with the podcast, teach you lesson cause I got class. Nigga lying with the impact, you be lying, that's a real fact. Come let me teach you with us, come let me teach you with us. Nigga lying with the tweets, follow me back to my next.
Welcome to the Lebu Lion Show. I am your host, Lebu Lion, and here we talk everything marketing, brand building, business mindset, and sometimes pop culture. Today we are recording on location, guys. I am so excited about this particular conversation because it's for women, about women, and SMMEs. And you know that this podcast is all about entrepreneurship. We love seeing Black businesses grow. We love seeing businesses grow. We love seeing African businesses grow. So I can't be more excited than I am today to be speaking to the organization that has collaborated with us on this beautiful episode. We are going to be speaking to the team at Organon, and you're going to find out what they do, what the name means. I know you've never heard the word Organon, but today it's going to be clarified for you. And they say that they're here for her health. And I think that's important. We never think of female health holistically, right? It's not just about pills. It's the whole thing. It's about your mindset, your mental health, all of these things. And we're going to be adding a bit more spice to the conversation and asking ourselves, how do we incorporate digital transformation and AI into the female health game? That's big. We know that AI is taking over. We know that any business that wants to succeed in the future has to have technology really successfully ingrained into their strategy. So today we're going to have a few people from the Organon team speaking to us and giving us an insight on female health in Africa, SMMEs, and how we can have a more holistic approach to our health using tech. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
You know, on this podcast, we don't actually introduce our guests.
Okay.
They introduce themselves, which is why I haven't told the viewers who you are. So please, beautiful lady, introduce yourself to the Lebu Lion community.
Hi, Lebu.
Hi.
My name is Nobantu Zaqa. I am a transformation specialist for what you mentioned. The company is called Organon, mm-hmm. South Africa. We are a multinational that mainly deals in women's health. So we are here for her health, like you said, holistically.
Mm-hmm.
What does Organon mean? Maybe I should start there.
I wanted to ask you, I was like, you know, I saw that word on a piece of paper and I'm like, Organon, I've never heard of this mm-hmm. company. What do they do? But what does the name mean?
Absolutely.
It doesn't have anything to do with organs, right?
That would be my first start. Firstly, it has got nothing to do with organs.
Yes.
So Organon is it's a Greek word that means an instrument of acquiring knowledge. So, I mean, like pharmaceutical company. So I guess when the names were thrown out there, Organon is definitely a name that would have made sense to what the organization is about and to what the organization aims to do.
You know, I love that that's what Organon means, actually, Nobantu, because I've been watching a few documentaries about female health. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I keep getting from them is that female health is actually still a sector that people don't know much about. We don't really have a lot of information about female health, right? Mm. So it's still an emerging sector in itself in terms of having real information where we can create solutions that benefit women. Mm. And it's very cool to see that such a young company is taking on that mammoth task, mm-hmm. right? Why are we here today?
So today, firstly, I think in commemoration of SMME and I think it's SMME month.
Yes.
So in November, we're celebrating SMME month. So, I mean, how else to close off the month than, you know, have this event?
Mm.
So essentially the purpose of having this, what we call this enterprise and supplier development conference is firstly, you know, to celebrate our enterprise and supplier development beneficiaries. So these are SMMEs that firstly we partner with.
Mm.
So this is from a vendor perspective. These are people on our supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, we just thought it will also be great to bring, you know, whether entities that potentially we could use in the future. So we're also looking at pipeline. Mm. We've got a few of our business units heads within this space. So it's also a great networking opportunity. You know, I have seen quite a few organizations that have really leveraged on that opportunity. It's relaxed. It's a relaxed atmosphere. So it's one to exchange information, to exchange knowledge, to provide a platform for SMMEs to make themselves visible and to put a light on what they're doing. And I think we have found that in our engagement with various small and medium enterprises, we have found that because our industry is quite specialized, it's very difficult to get your foot in there. So because we also and also we can't take on a lot of SMMEs that we encounter and that we engage with, this is also then an opportunity to make sure that they get to meet some of our stakeholders that we deal with. So that is essentially the mood and what the purpose is for this event and for today.
It sounds really complex, to be honest with you. You mentioned a lot of big words, and I'm sure some people are sitting at home and saying, okay, I'm an SMME.
Okay.
This is sounding exciting, but I'm not too sure how to participate.
Yes.
My question is, what kind of SMMEs would be collaborating with a pharmaceutical company?
Okay, so firstly, the basic criteria. I'm not sure if I mentioned this earlier on, but I think it's important to note that as a company that is women focused, even within our procurement space, even with how we engage with suppliers, we are quite blatant in the fact that the criteria, firstly we look for Black women-owned entities. These are small companies. We call them exempt micro enterprises. So I'm sure your viewers would know of the EMEs.
Yes.
Yeah, EMEs and QSEs. So those are on the first criteria we look at. Firstly, is the company 100% Black women owned? Is the company at least 51% Black owned? And what is the size of that company? And then we then try and, obviously we then have conversations. We have found that and identified that making sure that there's an alignment in terms of our belief of the company, of, our partner's vision and, and their purpose and what they believe in, there has to be quite a close alignment with vendors that we deal with. And then in addition to that, we've found that it's great. We need to conduct needs analysis. What does the SMME need? But first, outside of that, is our partnership in line with the company, where the company is going, with our strategy? Because it does not make sense, and I can imagine the frustration it can bring on an SMME to be on a program where you are there maybe for the numbers, but in terms of the future, you don't quite see where you fit. So I think moving forward, obviously, I mean, it's we're in fit infant. We've probably in the first one or two years, we've had our hits and misses. We've probably engaged with some where you find a few months or a year down the line that, probably the alignment is not probably quite there. So I think in our third year, if now, what we are really making sure that we're doing and what we've implemented is, just firstly, we need to understand, what do you do? Where do you see yourself as an SMME in the next 3 or 4 years? And where you are, is it where the company is going? And is there a fit in terms of our vision as Organon? And obviously, us ensuring that within our vision, we still have an obligation to you, to the SMME, to make sure that they thrive and they grow and they meet the objectives of, you know, of essentially what an enterprise and supply development partnership should yield for all parties involved.
That's a bold take, you know? Not everyone has the courage to say, these are our people, this is who we're going to nurture, and we want to create a long-term relationship with you. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
But like I said, probably, you know, I will be honest that maybe in the first 1 or 2 years, but also I think you need to understand that the context, it's not easy. Probably in the first couple of years, we're still trying to find our footing. So there will be mishits. There will be, you know, the SMMEs, we would be the frog, you know, there would be a lot of frog kissing potentially. But I think, you know, really, the one thing that I have to say, and what is from somebody, so I've got an experience in the field of transformation.
Yes.
And I'll say for somebody that has been in the space for a while, I think what is different and what I feel is different about Organon is it is a company that is run, firstly, as much as a multinational, our directors are South African, they're local. So from understanding what the ethos of transformation and BBBE is trying to do, there's no buy-in that I'm still, you know, I don't need to convince anyone.
Yes.
So the buy-in is there. They get it. They absolutely get what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. So I think that is what I found to be reassuring, and that is why I'm here. I guess that is why I then said, okay, I want to be part of this movement.
I wish people at home could actually feel energies when they're watching something, because I have to tell you guys, Nobantu actually has a very electrifying energy.
Okay, like, thank you.
You give me life, you know?
No, it's a subject that I'm very passionate, about.
And I love that. It's so cool to work with organizations that actually not only believe, but they feel the thing that they do, you know, because you know that you're fully committed to that. And I also love how you spoke about almost the localization of leadership and how that informs how the country,
absolutely,
the company runs,
absolutely,
in South Africa. That's
so you
brilliant.
See the transformation.
You see the transformation.
Absolutely, yeah.
I've got two questions for you.
Okay.
The first one is, what does Black female entrepreneurship represent to you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the first question.
All right. So what is Black... Firstly, maybe I should just break it down.
Mm-hmm.
What does a Black entrepreneur, Black female entrepreneur represent to me?
Mm-hmm.
What does woman represent to me? So in reality, the role that women play in the community is immense. You're a mother. We are mothers. We are sisters. We are, at times, we are the ones that are carrying the household. So I feel, you know, when you develop a woman, it's you essentially empowering and developing a community.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about Black women entrepreneurs and the development of Black women entrepreneurs, I think it comes from that understanding that it's the trickle effect of what that individual can do, or rather of what the success of that entrepreneur can contribute towards family, towards community, towards, you know, building of other women. I'm not sure about you, but I can tell you that I am here where I am today. 80%, if not more, of individuals that have essentially contributed to my growth, sometimes even unsolicited,
mm-hmm,
have been Black women.
Yes.
Have been Black women.
Yes.
So it really, really comes from there that I think as myself, and I would say that strong relationship that we want to build and want to establish, and that we are so blatant about, is the fact that we realize that it's like it also talks to the reason why we are concerned about her health. Mm-hmm. Because when she's healthy, it means that she can go to work. It means that she can be a present mother. It means that she can be a present sister. It means that her contributions within the community are or cover many spectrums. Mm-hmm. And that is essentially why I think, the concept of why Black women entrepreneurs is one that I feel is very vital in our growth as an economy, as a country, and as a community.
I love that. It actually reminds me of a popular phrase that Maya Angelou said, where she says, I come as one, but I stand as 10,000.
Absolutely.
You know, so as a woman, you're never alone. Yes. When you come representing so many people.
Very true.
You are impacting so many people. Your existence matters.
Yes, yeah.
And it reverberates in the communities that you serve. So I love that you said that. And my second question is, because this is a word that is used quite a lot these days.
Yeah.
Transformation.
Yeah.
What does transformation mean? What is transformation?
So I'm going to first let me say, I believe in a South African context, when we talk about, there's legislation that guides transformation. But just outside of that, I think for me, transformation means, firstly, when I walk into a company, when I walk into Organon, mm-hmm. I walk into an organization that I feel is representative of the South Africa, of the country that I live in. Mm. So that is one, and I think that is very important. A simple concept, employment equity is a tool of transformation. Mm-hmm. What is the purpose of that? It essentially is driving the fact that at the end of the day, our workspaces and how we engage and develop, it must not leave behind anyone. It must be diverse. Mm-hmm. And the way that it must be diverse is then guided and should be guided by how our country looks like.
Yes.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, I think that is what transformation is. And I believe that true transformation is inclusive, it's diverse, and it's sustainable.
Yeah.
I think it's important to highlight that it is sustainable.
I wish we had more time to have our conversation, but we do have to speak to more members of your team.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you one more question. What message would you like to leave our viewers about Organon and about Black females and transformation?
Okay. So I think firstly about, I'll start with transformation because that is the space. That is my space. I think firstly, I would like to leave the audience with a commitment that when we speak of, and I speak on behalf of Organon, when we speak of transformation, it is a journey. We acknowledge that it does not happen overnight. There will be learnings, and there have been learnings. Mm-hmm. So it takes time. It's also about relationship building. It's about solid relationship building. It's about solid relationship building with entities that one speak to our values, and speak to the purpose of or the company purpose. So it really is, and also something to note is the fact that when we talk of transformation, it's one that we look at it holistically. Mm-hmm. So we look at it as, like I said, is the company diverse in its representation, and also are we empowering we call them founders, so these employees. Mm-hmm. Are we empowering, and how is our pipeline looking? So if some Abufele leaves, Abufele is our MD. If so, for example, somebody leaves, do we have strategies that talks to a sustainable growth of our of employees? Mm-hmm. Do we have a diverse pool of procurement, of rather of vendors that we've got relationships with, that we can, you know, we can engage with, and that we are constantly upskilling, and that is not necessarily from us, because we also, I think the one thing that we also believe in is collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Collaboration with other industry players. You'll find that, I mean, we had, like I said, we had somebody who was talking about the transformation journey of merchants, and there have been quite a few learnings from that, you know, from that presentation. And he highlighted quite a number of opportunities that I feel if I was somebody, an entrepreneur, an SMME, an ESD beneficiary that was sitting in the audience, I'd be like, actually, I need to have a conversation with him. Mm-hmm. So we also, in our transformation, it's one, like I said, it's about collaboration. It's about opening up the space and making sure that everybody that can contribute gets an opportunity to, you know, to make an effective and impactful contribution.
I love that. Ending it off on a high note. You want to make sure that everyone who has an opportunity to contribute gets the opportunity to contribute. And what I took away from our conversation was that transformation is all about sustainability and, most importantly, collaboration.
Absolutely.
And it's so cool that Organon is doing this here in South Africa for women.
Yes.
By women.
Yep.
You're definitely here for our health.
We are absolutely here for our health.
Thank you so much. Can't wait to speak to you a bit later.
Thank you.
And we're back with our second guest, who's going to be talking about something that I know a lot of you are very passionate about. So I hope you have your notebooks ready, pen and paper, so you can take some notes. We'll be talking all things SMME funding. And I know it's the end of the year, but you're going to need this information if you want to be part of an organization next year or in the years to come. And you know how we do. We do not introduce our guests. Our guests introduce themselves. So, beautiful lady, please introduce yourself.
Thank you for having me, Lebu. My name is Zizi Ponyanga. I'm very passionate about entrepreneurship. I'm passionate about creating rather than just consuming. So I'm looking forward to the conversation.
I love that you say you're passionate about creating more than just consuming, but creating. What does that mean?
I think as a nation, as people in general, particularly Africans, it's my mission, my personal mission to say entrepreneurship is the backbone of the country.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that each and every one of us are doing to contribute to the entrepreneurship ecosystem, whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you are someone who's enabling entrepreneurs to do what they do best? So we need to create a legacy. We need to create, instead of just consuming in the townships, the market of the township is billions. And yet the very same people that are there are not necessarily always taking advantage of the opportunities. And yet we are the biggest consumers in those communities. That is just one example of how we should wake up to the point about creating rather than just consuming.
I'm not good with the Zulu language yet, but it's reminding me of a phrase I've heard on TV where they say, Vuvuzenzele.
Yes.
Is that what you're talking
about? That's what I'm talking.
Guys, my Zulu is improving. I need a round of applause for this. I love what Zizipho is saying, because so many of us believe that organizations are just there to help us. But in actual fact, they're there to assist us and enable us as we build what we build. Can you give the audience an idea of what it looks like to be fit for SME funding?
I think the first thing is that usually entrepreneurs are, you know, they have a problem with resources and tools. Usually it's one-man band when you're starting. But we live in a day of technology. Today we're talking about how entrepreneurs and SMMEs can use technology to their best advantage. So firstly, be curious, be inquisitive as to what other people are doing in your space, in your industry. What is the competitive edge that you can get to get your foot in the door in terms of your customers? So technology for me is one thing, and the digital transformation that is happening, not only in corporates, but also in SMEs, is something that will be a key enabler for future generations. So SMEs, entrepreneurs, must be curious about how they can use digital platforms and technology to enable their businesses to thrive and scale and make profit at the end of the day. Secondly, if you want to be successful in your business, you are in the business of making money. You're not necessarily running a nonprofit organization. So who is the customer? What is it that they want? How can you remain relevant in terms of what it is that the customer is looking for? So continuously developing yourself such that you understand where the market is moving. Today we are here, we are having this conversation via a podcast. In the olden days, there was no such. So what are the things in your particular industry that are really going to make you have that competitive edge? And who out of the investors and funders can really identify with what you're doing and want to put their neck on the line and back you because you've demonstrated that you're actually doing something great?
Oof, that third one is hard. Who can put their neck on the line for you? So that requires excellence, consistency, and dedication to what you do. So I really love that you said that. We've been using the word digital transformation quite a lot in this podcast, especially today. Can you give us an example of what that looks like for the average South African entrepreneur?
It looks like many things. And I think we tend to think that it's a big thing if you're talking about artificial intelligence, if you're talking about digital transformation. It's big words. But let's start with the basics. The fact that you are using Excel and spreadsheets to really document what it is that is happening in your business rather than using a book that you can lose anytime. Use a computer and say, if I don't have money to invest in digital platforms that are much more expensive, maybe a customer relationship management tool, let me use Excel to manage my stakeholders, to manage my customers and know what their numbers are, the database of some sort. Let me use a WhatsApp business tool to be able to say, when my phone is off, there's an automated response that says, I will call you at such and such a time. If you're looking for this service, this is how much it costs. So those are the basic side of things. But obviously, as you become bigger in terms of the size of your business, there are really tools to really use social media, for instance, automated processes, emails and customer service tools that are going to create a competitive advantage for you so that you release yourself from doing mundane routine things that are not making money at the end of the day. You release yourself by using technology and take that time to be productive and go find customers. At the end of the day, you are in business to find customers and sell and make profit. So using digital transformation strategies releases some of the time and makes your team, you and your team, productive. It also increases your scale because all of a sudden, if you are operating as a one-man band, the computer now is assisting you to relate to customers, to do all the things that would be done by someone else. So I'm not saying we're replacing humans, but I'm saying let's use technology to enable what it is that we can do better for our customers to remain relevant.
I've been saying this on the podcast, and now we have an expert who's responsible for giving your business money and helping you grow, saying the same thing. Invest in your digital tools, guys. It's the only way you're going to be able to ride the wave of the future and help your business grow and tap into the opportunities that the entire world has to offer you. You know, once you have digital tools ingrained into your business, you become a global citizen, my apologies. And that allows you to tap into opportunities across the entire globe. And why wouldn't you want to do that? So I love what you're saying, from WhatsApp to social media to so many other things. I think all of us, if we're sitting here, we can actually say we've got some element of digital in our business. And that's a good sign. Organon is committed to empowering mainly Black female SMMEs. And I think that's a bold statement to make. What does the Black female SME represent to you?
Firstly, what does a woman represent to me? I think all households, the community at large, stands at the back of the woman. You know, if you empower a woman, you empower a lot of people. So I think for me, Organon backing women-owned businesses, particularly African and Black is a big thing that is needed in the country. If you talk about poverty, if you talk about job creation, and you talk about all these challenges that the country faces, women are at the center of that in terms of changing the script and putting food on the table for those people that wouldn't ordinarily get that food. So entrepreneurs that are in business and are helped by corporates like Organon are able to employ people, are able to make sure that they contribute to the economy of South Africa, and all of us benefit one way or another. But women don't live in a vacuum. We live with men. We live with brothers. We live with fathers. We need men as much as they need us, mm-hmm. right? But it's also our time to be empowered. But as we are empowering women and girls, please may we not forget the boy child, because in the future we need everyone.
In the future, we need everyone to be empowered. So let's not forget the boy child as we empower women. And I think that's a very important conversation to have. I mean, we could have that conversation for an hour, 2 hours, because it's so complex. But I love and appreciate that you've mentioned that in this podcast. I think my final question to you is, and it's something I'm quite curious about, actually. You have extensive experience in the SME space, especially in funding. Is there data that shows the impact of investing in female entrepreneurs?
So by virtue of legislation, corporates are required to report on the impact they are making in entrepreneurship in general. So report on how many women-owned businesses you have assisted, whether through funding, access to markets, or non-financial support in general. But we haven't figured it out 100% as a country. There is monitoring and evaluation that is required, reporting, as I said. But for us in the entrepreneurship ecosystem, we have to coordinate efforts. We have to work together so that we can really demonstrate all that is being done by corporates, by government, by private sector in terms of empowering women entrepreneurs. It's not yet perfect, but it's something that is a priority for those that are in the entrepreneurship ecosystem, because you need to measure what it is that you're doing for you to see whether you're actually succeeding or not.
I love that, because at least it gives us a sense that there is an appetite in corporate to understand who we are through data.
Yeah.
And that also helps us in terms of AI and digital transformation and putting tech in our strategies in order to enable us to grow. So I really love that. Is there a message that you'd love to leave our audience about the value of digital transformation and SMEs in South Africa?
My message is always the same. Create rather than just consume. The problem that you are having, you probably have a solution for, or someone somewhere where you are in the ecosystem has a solution. Let's practice collaborating in practice, like in actual actions that we do as entrepreneurs. So that is my message. Create rather than consume.
Thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciated this conversation.
Thank you, Lebo. I really appreciate it too.
Tribe, we're back with our final guest for this afternoon. And you know, it's such a pity that you guys aren't here with me today, because you miss on all the behind the scenes stuff. We've been having really great conversations. And if you had a peek of that, I think you'd be wanting to watch this for another 5 hours. But unfortunately, this is all we can give you, this 45 minutes. And I hope that we can have more of these conversations in 2024. We've spoken about digital transformation. We've spoken about SMME funding. We've spoken about Black women. We've spoken about so much this afternoon. And our guest today is going to help us close everything off and really help us have a holistic approach to what it means to be here for her health. Right? Because we spoke about the fact that health is not just about, you know, the physical stuff. It's also the mental stuff. It's also about how you experience life. And we need to have those conversations as women so that we can navigate this life better and live the lives that we've dreamed of. And you know how we do on this podcast. We don't introduce our guests. They introduce themselves. So, beautiful lady, please introduce yourself to our community.
Hello, wonderful community. I'm Mukhadi Mashishi. I'm the Access Markets Lead for Organon South Africa and Sub-Saharan Africa. And what that means actually is that I'm responsible for our business in the public sector and also any business that we do with other partners like our multilateral organizations outside of South Africa. And this is really to ensure that our products are accessible to women who might not have the means always to afford the healthcare that they need to lead better lives.
Well, Khadi, you have a very important job, access markets, and you're saying you're making sure you're providing access to women who do not have the access. That's a big thing. How do you start that kind of job in South Africa? Like, how do you start even identifying who has access and who doesn't?
So in South Africa, if you look at our healthcare system, it's what we call a two-tiered healthcare system. So we have the private sector, where people who have medical aid and other types of health insurance have access to that type of care. Mm-hmm. And then we have the public sector, where a lot of people actually do rely on government to provide those services. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the two, I mean, 84% of women and men rely on the public sector to provide them with the medicine that they need.
84%?
84%. And only 16%.
That's a big number.
Exactly. And only 16% have private cover. And this is a phenomenon that's almost common across the continent, except in other countries on the continent, you have a larger proportion not even having, medical aid is in some countries not even an option. So they have to pay out of pocket.
Wow. So with Oregon saying they're here for her health, mm-hmm. what does that mean to you as somebody who's responsible for access to markets?
So for me, what it means, our mission of being, here for her health. Mm-hmm. And I mean, our slogan of being here for her health and our mission of ensuring that a better and a healthier every day for every woman. It means exactly that. How do we push the boundaries to ensure that we can reach women where they are? Mm-hmm. So we can only do this through partnerships, right? So we partner with other organizations to ensure that the healthcare providers, nurses, doctors, in some instances, there's also what we call community health workers, are well trained to provide the support. So one of the big initiatives that we have is around the prevention of unintended pregnancies, because we completely understand how an unintended pregnancy can completely derail a lady's life, right? And we know teenage pregnancy is a reality. So the key here is to say, how do we support young people? We can't stop them from Mujolo, of course, right? Yeah. However, you can have Mujolo responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, without ending up with a gift with two eyes.
Yes.
Yes.
You can have Mujolo responsibly without landing up with a gift with two eyes. That's true, Mm-hmm. I can say as a 33-year-old woman who doesn't have children, how life has been so great for me because I can do what I want to do anytime I want to do. And I want to have kids one day,
mm-hmm.
but I love the fact that I have the freedom to decide when I will have children.
And you have captured the essence of what, for me, I'm absolutely passionate about, to say through the products that we make and through programs like our Access Markets, we are doing exactly that. We're basically giving women the power to decide and the power to exercise their choice of whether they want to have children, when are they having children,
yeah.
and how many they will have, and what the spacing will look like.
Yeah.
We also understand that this is a bit of a controversial space as well, right? Because, I mean, if I think about our culture as Black women and Black girls and Black communities, sexual and reproductive health is not something that's spoken about easily, right? So we don't only focus on things like the unintended pregnancy. There's also menstrual health that we have to take into consideration. A lot of young girls, unfortunately, and start to discover what menstruation means when they experience it.
Yes.
Imagine a world where we can empower young girls, teach them from a young age what your body can do, mm-hmm. and how can you take care of yourself better.
Yes.
But also start to work with policymakers to ensure that some of the tools that women need to ensure that they don't miss school, the young girls, when they're menstruating, are actually available. So those are the sort of conversations that we have with multiple stakeholders as well.
Ah, I love that. And, you know, as a woman who's had the privilege of getting education about my body at a very young age, I understand the value of that, you know.
Yes.
So I think it is important that all women have access to that, no matter what their income is, where they come from.
Mm.
That's really important. It does empower you. Before we started shooting, we were talking about the other side of health, you know, mm-hmm. which is the mental health part.
Mm-hmm.
Let's dive into that. What is mental health for you, especially regarding the woman, the African mm-hmm. woman?
So maybe let me take it a step back. I mean, if we look at African women, we carry so much, right? You are a mother, you are a sister, you are a wife. And a lot of times it's almost like you're supposed to suppress your feelings and suppress a whole lot of emotions and that. And when you snap, people wonder why. That speaks to mental health, right? Mental health for me means being at peace. And the only way we can get to that point is by really acknowledging the challenges that we face, but also having tools to deal with them. And then where necessary, because in some instances, mental health illness can happen because there's an imbalance, hormonal imbalance. And if you do need that type of support, you should be able to have access to that. And I think one of the things that also, again, is taboo in the Black society is mental health illness, where sometimes depression, people take it very lightly, but it can actually be a debilitating condition. And this doesn't only affect women, it also affects men. If we look at the rates of suicide among men, that is just an indication of how dire the situation is in terms of dealing with mental health issues.
I love that. You know, I know a lot of people watching might say, you guys are only talking about women, you only care about women. But here we are saying that, honestly, health is inclusive as well.
It is.
Right? And what we are saying is, for a long time, health has been more concerned with the man, just because historically that's what's happened. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a political conversation. And now we're saying, let's include women into this conversation of health so we can have a healthier society overall. I love that. That I literally had a light bulb moment when you were saying that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have a lot. I have a lot to say to you. I have a lot to ask you, but unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time. So I'm going to ask you what I've been asking every other guest who we've spoken to. And that is, what would you like to leave our community with? What is the message you'd like to leave them? It can be about anything regarding mental health, access to markets, female health. Mm-hmm. What's the message you want to leave us with today?
The message I want to leave is that our health is in our hands. You actually have to actively seek help as well, as an individual. And remember, especially as a woman, that you have the right to what happens with your body. You have the right and the power to choose what you want to see happen. And as a result of that, for me, I believe it will also be a way to empower yourself, allow yourself those opportunities, you know, to reach your full potential, because you don't have other things that are pulling you back.
Mm.
But our health is in our hands. And when we talk about equality, to your point, we're not saying that we're leaving men behind. We're saying, if we look at this table, for example, men are already on the table.
Yeah.
Women are starting from the floor.
Yeah.
Now, let's bring them up, which is why a lot of focus is on investment in women's health.
Mm-hmm.
So let's first of all bring that equity, and then we can now, continue the conversation around equality. But your health is in your hands, and your health is your power.
Ah! What a great way to end this podcast. Your health is in your hands and your health is your power. I am so glad that Oregon invited me today to experience interacting with women who come from all walks of life and have so much to share. Thank you for coming on our podcast. I'm definitely going to invite you back because I think we've got a lot to talk about.
There's a lot to unpack.
Guys, thank you for tuning in. Remember, your health is in your hands and Oregon is here for her health. And you can interpret what that means to me. It means that it's here for me in all aspects of my life, because without health, I have nothing else, mm-hmm. right? Thank you for tuning into this episode. I know that we got a lot of gems and we need to have a part 2 and 3 and 4 because we need to unpack this concept of what is health, accessing markets, SME funding, Black female entrepreneurs. I mean, there's a lot to talk about, but it is also the end of the year. So I'm going to let you go. I'll see you next year. We're going to start talking about more things relating to entrepreneurship, marketing, brand building, and business. Until then, remember, the only way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. Thank you for being part of our tribe in 2023, and we can't wait to see you and your friends and your colleagues and your family in 2024. Bye.